Esme?
Yes, Githa?
It's not that I'm complaining or anything.
Yes,
but why isn't it me who's being the posh opera patroniser?
Because you're as common as muck, Githa.
Oh. Right. Nanny subjected this statement to some thought and couldn't see any point of inaccuracy that would sway a jury. Fair enough.
It's not as though I like this.
Shall I do Madam's feet?
Said the manicurist. She stared at Granny's boots and wondered if it might be necessary to use a hammer. I got to admit, it's a nice hairstyle, said Nanny.
Madam has marvellous hair,
said the hairdresser.
What is the secret?
You've got to make sure there's no newts in the water, said Granny.
She looked at her reflection in the mirror over the washbasin and went to look away and then sneaked another glance. Her lips pursed. She said. At the other end, the manicurist had succeeded in getting Granny's boots and socks off. Much to her amazement, there was revealed, instead of the corned and bunion monstrosities she'd been expecting, a pair of perfect feet. She didn't know where to start because there was nowhere to begin. But this manicure was costing $20, and in those circumstances you damn well find something to do. Nanny sat beside their pile of packages and tried to work everything out on a scrap of paper. She didn't have Granny's gift for numbers. They tended to writhe under her gaze and add themselves up wrong. Esme, I reckon we've spent probably more than $1,000 so far, and that's not including hiring the coach, and we haven't paid Mrs. Palm for the room.
You said nothing was too much trouble to help a Lunkra girl, said Granny.
But I didn't say nothing was too much money, thought Nanny, and then scolded herself for thinking like that. But she was definitely feeling a little lighter in the underwear regions. There seemed to be a general consensus among the artisans of beauty that they'd done what they could. Granny swiveled the chair around.
What do you think? She said.
Nanny Ogg stared. She'd seen many strange things in her life, some of them twice. She'd seen elves and walking stones and the shoeing of a unicorn. She'd had a farmhouse dropped on her head, but she'd never seen Granny Weatherwax in rouge. All her normal expletives of shock and surprise fused instantly, and she found herself resorting to an ancient curse belonging to her grandmother.
Well, I'll be mogadored, she said.
Madam has extremely good skin, said the cosmetics lady.
I know, said Granny. Can't seem to do anything about it.
I'll be mogadored, said Nanny again.
Powder and paint, said Granny. Just another kind of mask. Oh, well,
she gave the hairdresser a dreadful smile.
How much do we owe you, she said.
$30, said the hairdresser.
That is, give the man $30 and another $20 to make up for his trouble, said Granny, clutching at her head.
$50? You could buy a shop for...
Githa!
Oh, all right. Excuse me, I'm just going to the bank. She turned away demurely, raised the hem of her skirt, twang, twing, twang, twang, and turned back with a handful of coins. There you go, my good sir, she said, sourly. There was a coach waiting outside. It was the best Granny had been able to hire with Nanny's money. A footman held open the door as Nanny helped her friend aboard.
We'll go straight to Mrs. Palm's so's I can change, said Granny as they pulled away, and then to the opera house. We ain't got much time.
Are you all right?
Never felt better, Granny patted her hair. Githa Ogg, you wouldn't be a witch if you couldn't jump to conclusions, right?
Nanny nodded. Oh, yes. There was no shame in it. Sometimes there wasn't time to do anything else but take a flying leap. Sometimes you had to trust to experience and intuition and general awareness and take a running jump. Nanny herself could clear quite a tall conclusion from